You are listening to World Cafe. My name is Kaleo. My guest today is one of the most accomplished musicians in pop and R&B over the last 30 years. He's also one of the most respected. We're talking about Rafael Sadiq. He fronted Tony. He's got a successful solo career. Something keeps calling. And he's worked as a composer, producer, bassist, and vocalist for folks like Elton John, Kenny G, Solange, Ed Sheeran, John Legend, and countless others. His new album, Jimmy Lee, is named for his older brother who passed away when he was younger. We'll talk about why he named the record Jimmy Lee. Plus, he'll dive into some great stories about playing with Prince, Stevie Wonder, and more. First, let's get into it with Something Keeps Calling from the album Jimmy Lee. It's Rafael Sadiq on World Cafe. Something keeps calling. That's Something Keeps Calling Me from the new album Jimmy Lee by Rafael Sadiq. Rafael's my guest today. I'm Kaleo on the World Cafe. Welcome back. It's nice to meet.
Yeah, man. It's good to be back, you know, after it's been a while.
Yeah, almost 8 years since the last record. Congrats on Jimmy Lee. I absolutely loved it. There's so many cool musical things about it, but, you know, the theme of the record is something very important. Tell me about your brother, Jimmy Lee.
Yeah, my brother Jimmy Lee is we're 15 years apart in age. He's older than me. Very funny guy, very loving guy who unfortunately was addicted to heroin at a very young age. And but as a kid, you know, I didn't know anything about, you know, chemical drugs or designer drugs or, you know, heroin, anything like that. I just knew he was my brother, and that's how I looked at him, as my brother. And this record is titled Jimmy Lee. It's not really a dedication record to my brother. Mm-hmm. Most of the record, I'm speaking to the universe, you know, it's making it a universal subject and using Jimmy Lee as my, you know, say no type of Nancy Reagan type of thing, I guess you say.
Jimmy Lee is the name of the album. We're talking to Rafael Sadiq here on World Cafe. You know, this record musically, it grooves. There's so much good stuff. If you're listening, you can hear the Isleys, Earth, Wind & Fire, Prince and Stevie, even stuff from the future, you know, like Toro y Moi, Anderson .Paak. I wanted to know how you wanted to evolve your sound.
Well, musically, I've always wanted to, you know, sonically, I wanted to always move forward. And musically, you know, I'm a musician. You know, that's my trade. Is being a musician, a singer was always second. I felt like I sort of bridged the gap and sort of made the vocals become as important as the music with this record. I think I did on the way I see it also, but I felt like this record sonically is something that, you know, I felt like Glory to the Veins is something, and you can hear it's very dark. It could be a ton of different genres. So I sort of want to touch on different genres and not stay in one, even though it feels like a concept record. I didn't really want it to be like every record you could fit it in the same, you know, genre. I felt like it could be... The goal was to it could play in a lot of different places, be licensed in a lot of different films for different type of films.
Interesting. Well, let's, you know, we've been talking about it for a little bit. Let's have people listen to Glory to the Veins. It's from Rafael Sadiq's new album, Jimmy Lee, on World Cafe.
I lost a brother to AIDS. Still he left every day. I see the door, but I'm not going in.
That's a little bit of Glory to the Veins here on World Cafe. Rafael Sadiq's my guest. I'm Kaleo. So I want to do a little bit of an experiment. We just listened to a snippet of Glory to the Veins. I would love for us to listen to So Ready together, and you can kind of give the audience a little bit of an idea of what's going on in the song. Is that something you'd be cool with doing?
Sure, let's do it.
Awesome. Let's get into it. John, could you hit it for us, please? So first thing I got to talk about, dude, this bass line. It's insane. You slap on this.
Yeah, so like the opening statement is the bass. You know, it's like it's been my lifetime mistress is my bass. And so I felt like, you know, my dad always loved when I played bass, and I lost my dad 2 years ago, so I wanted to snap on bass in the beginning of the record.
Nice. You stayed by my side, but then I broke your heart.
I went too far. And all I saw was thinking about Stevie. Stevie would, you know, would have, you know, the bass would have Nathan's, you know, play bass that way, in that manner, really in the pocket and really right to the point where people could hear it. It's in the way and it's out of the way.
Yeah. And you have that lovely homage to Stevie a little bit later in the song.
Yeah. Oh, I had Stevie to play harmonica on the record. We just couldn't. We didn't have time to really get him back in and to play it again. But he played on. It's a version with Stevie playing a harmonica solo, but we couldn't use it because he needed more time to really to get it how he wanted it.
Is that one of those things where it's like they give you the performance and you can love it, but if they're like, "Nah, I'm not feeling it," you're like, "Guess can't use it."
No. It's just we were just messing around. We were just kind of hanging out, and we would have needed both another session. We both would have, you know, but it's always down the line, you know, maybe some, you know, Stevie pops up now, shows up in places and plays. So maybe it didn't belong on the record, and it's probably be nice if he, you know, shows up. He's such a spirit of my whole life, you know, so to, you know, just having his presence to pop up on the stage would even be more than him playing on the record.
Yeah, that's a good point. And just it has that energy. And I mean, Songs in the Key of Life, such a great record. But yeah, just referencing that with your lyrics, and then it just has that feel, man.
Yeah, he's the landscape of a lot of my childhood, you know, melodically. I'm sure I've learned melody from Stevie Wonder, for sure.
Like when you were learning to play bass and stuff like that?
Yes, I'm very bad with learning words, you know, to songs, but I know a lot of Stevie songs, but not all the way through. But musically, I know the songs all the way through. I could play with him on bass, maybe guitar too.
Song would be the song that you would play on bass?
It'll be a hard one, but it'd be Golden Lady, because I think that might be a Moog. It might be a Moog bass. Ooh. The Moog. They call it the Moog, not the Moog. It's the Moog now.
Well, producer John's going to play a little bit of it then.
Oh, cool.
Fantastic. This is the World Cafe.
Whew. Smoking. Man, I love this song. This is living right here, man. This is it. Don't get no better than this.
Huh? Looking in your eyes, kind of heaven eyes. Closing both my eyes.
Was this like something that you would hear in your household growing up?
So me and my mom would go to baseball games at the Oakland Coliseum, the Oakland Athletics, the Oakland A's. And this was back in the day, so it would have been Reggie Jackson, Vida Blue, Catfish Hunter, Shooty Babbitt. And so in the outfield, when they were warming up, throwing the ball around, they would play this album at the game, doing warm-ups. This is how I really started listening to this record.
Was at the ball game at the Oakland Coliseum?
Yeah, in the bleachers. I'm sitting in the bleachers in the cheap seats. And I'm watching Reggie Jackson throw the ball around as a kid. Yeah, bat day. With a green bat. Nice wood green bat.
You don't get those kind of warm-up sessions anymore these days at the stadium, that's for sure.
No, now it's just a ton of advertisement.
Yep. Talking to Rafael Sadiq here on World Cafe. The new album is Jimmy Lee. So let's get back to the album. Rear View features Kendrick Lamar. And I love that it's not just a conventional guest appearance for him. You know, he's got a co-writer credit on the record. You guys co-wrote this together. How did this come together?
Well, Kendrick stopped by his studio one day, and we're just playing music, and he, you know, very, man, he's a, to me, he feels like a singer to me. I mean, he's, I mean, he would be like, you know, David Ruffin and Eddie Kendricks, and he would be some dudes like that if he was a singer, you know. So I felt like he wasn't really rhyming. I feel like he's a musician. He feels like a musician to me. So he jumped on a couple tracks, and I just happened to take that part and use that part in Rearview.
Ah, I see. So it's like you just got all of these parts from him, and then after the fact, you can kind of build in certain parts of his spoken word to songs, different songs that maybe he didn't even intend on playing on.
Right, because, you know, I feel like he's a special artist for the culture and for music. And for me to put Kendrick on a record, I really had to do something incredible for me, too. I didn't just want us to be on a record that was just any old record. You know, I wanted to be different. I wanted to sing a different way, and I felt like I would get into my David Bowie mind. And, like, you know, me, Kendrick, and David Bowie.
Yeah, man. I got to tell you, I was actually one of the things that I was about to ask you. You have such an interesting delivery on the track, you know, and I couldn't place it, but definitely a definite Bowie homage. And I love the fact that you reverbed it, you know, so the reverb voice keeps coming in like it's always pushing it forward. It feels sort of a little spooky, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that was the point of the record. And, you know, I felt like Bowie, I always watched Bowie through his whole career, and how he, as he became a, you know, an adult and a man, and he changed from so many different looks. And I sort of did that too. I guess I wasn't as wild as Bowie in the beginning, but I love fashion. He loved fashion too, but I love how in the later years he sort of did these stylish things with suits, and I was always watching his progression, his career. So I just wanted to, like, do my version of what I think Bowie would be if I was doing it. You know, sometimes you can sing like Stevie Wonder, and to you, in your head, you sound like him, but you don't. It becomes your own thing. And I feel like, you know, with me singing, in my head, I'm singing like David Bowie, but somebody else, they won't get it. Then it becomes me. But if my true story is, I was really trying to be in my Bowie head a little bit.
Nice, nice. Well, now that we've talked about it, let's listen to it. It's Rearview, Kendrick Lamar on the chorus, Raphael Sadiq, our guest. It's World Cafe.
How can I please the world but not God himself? How can I have the world still need some help? How can I see the world stuck in this box?
Trying to figure out my life, I can't see even in plain sight.
That's Rearview from Raphael Sadiq featuring Kendrick Lamar. It's World Cafe. The latest album is Jimmy Lee. It's available now. My name is Kaleo. Man, dude, there are so many things that I could talk to you about in your very diverse career that would be very interesting to our audience, from playing bass with Elton John to, you know, working with Stevie Wonder to co-writing Untitled with D'Angelo to producing a Kenny G record to your video game company, Illphonic. So there's so many things that I could talk about, but I think I have to ask you a little bit about being a teenager and auditioning for Sheila E. Can you tell me a little bit about what that was like?
Auditioning for Sheila E. was really sort of like, there's no flukes in life, but I was at a friend of mine's house who has a recording studio, and every band would go up there to record, and I just happened to be there one day, and a phone call comes through from Levi Caesar, who was Sheila's musical director at the time, and Joe Capers. It was his house, and my brother was in a band with Joe Capers. And the phone call came through that said, does anybody know how to sing and dance? Was a line out of Purple Rain. And so, you know, the guy put the phone down and said, does anybody here know how to sing and dance? And so it was like a joke. I was like, what are they talking about? You know, because a few people were sitting in the living room. It was directed at anybody. So I didn't want to say me, you know, but my brother kind of said, yeah, he does, I do, and what's up? Audition tomorrow at SIR in San Francisco. Me and my brother caught the BART train to San Francisco. It was over 25, 30 people outside in the line waiting to go in. And I walked in, gave him my name. There was already a bass player who won the audition before I got the gig. And then I walked in, I played, and then Sheila looked at Levi, and they looked at each other, and we stopped playing, and they said, you got the gig. We already hired somebody, but we're going to let them go, and you have the gig.
Wow.
And that was pretty much it. Next thing you know, I was in Japan and was singing Erotic City, and Prince was at the board. And, you know, he walks up to us, and, you know, and then I think I got two of my, you know, friends on the gig after that, a keyboard player and a drummer, Timothy Riley. And, you know, the rest was, you know, I was hanging out with Prince and a lot of models.
That sounds like a pretty cool thing to do. It sounds absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
You're listening to World Cafe. I'm Kaleo. Rafael Siddique is here. His new album is Jimmy Lee. So your first solo album in 8 years, but as we mentioned earlier, you've been very, very busy with other things. And one of the things that people have recognized is your ability as a producer. You've worked with so many different people. What I didn't realize was that you were the executive producer of Solange's A Seat at the Table. We talk to a lot of producers on the cafe, but not executive producers. I'm curious, what's the big difference? What is the big responsibility in your role as the executive producer of an album?
You know, just to be there, to be a listener, and just be, I didn't even know she was giving me an executive producer's title. I was just there to work, you know what I mean? I never asked people for anything. She was just kind, and she did that out of her own thought process, you know.
That's really cool. So you just ended up becoming an executive producer after the fact.
Yeah, it wasn't some legal thing where I went in and did a deal with a lawyer and said, I need to be an executive producer on Solange record. I don't really believe in titles like that.
We're talking to Rafael Siddique here on World Cafe. One last thing about the Solange record, Cranes in the Sky, which you did produce. Why does that song resonate so strongly today?
I think Cranes in the Sky is a song that Solange really really honed in on a story that she really loved. There's something that she really went through. And for me, I had, you know, it's just, you know, I played drums, bass, and like the string keyboard on the sort of like the melody chords into the bottom. And I always loved it. It was a song that was going to be on my record, but different, of course, different lyrics, different melody, but similar. And she was going to help me write the song. Oh. And I gave her the track, and she came to me years later and said, do you have that track? I got an idea for a song. And I didn't really have it, the files. So she's basically sang over a MP3 file. That's what it was.
Whoa.
I couldn't find the files.
So you're
that old.
Here's the track here's the MP3 version I have. Wow.
That's it. And I barely found one that I wasn't singing on.
That's incredible. Let's listen to a bit of Cranes in the Sky here. It's Solange on World Cafe.
Away, 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 away. Well, it's like
so cool to hear that. Joined by the producer of that track, Rafael Siddique, talking about his new album as well, Jimmy Lee, that's out now. Thanks for listening to the World Cafe. I'm Kaleo. So, Rafael, I have to ask you, I saw an interview where you were talking about Tony, and that you guys ended up being, you know, New Jack Swing and R&B, but initially you wanted to be the Black Police. Is that right?
I don't think we were ever New Jack Swing.
You don't think you were ever New Jack Swing?
No, that's just bad journalism.
Okay, fair.
Not on your part, but you know, people. But we did have a Teddy Riley remix. And now I'm not saying that we was the New Jack Swing because I didn't like New Jack Swing. I loved it, but I don't think we certified for that.
It's always tough because it's like I always struggle with the genres, man, because I don't know if I just say straight R&B, I feel like I'm like trying to categorize 70 years of music, but it is. I mean, that's what you did in Tony.
It's Tony. R&B.
It's R&B. Yeah.
It's R&B. Rhythm and blues, because we had a song called The Blues, you know?
Yeah.
In that time, which was rare. But no, I always say the Black Police because it's just, you know, we were doing songs like, you know, Don't Stand So Close to Me. We were playing, and we had songs that were similar. We were just bass guitar and drums. There was no keyboards.
So that's
what we were doing, but, like, industry wasn't, they weren't buying it. You know, the music industry was very segregated then. You know, they didn't want to see three Black guys, you know, playing bass guitar and drums. They just wasn't trying to have it.
Man, you can make an argument that's still the case.
Most likely, yeah.
So in that case, 2020 was a thing, and you guys were doing rock-based stuff or bass guitar drum stuff, and that just wasn't flying, and so that is when keys and started, you know, more R&B stuff started coming in to play?
That's the only time it came into play.
Wow.
I mean, we grew up on it, but we wasn't really playing it. We were like, you know, we was playing like, we sound like the Police. I mean, we did. We sound like the Police in our own way.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We're talking to Raphael Siddique here on World Cafe. So, understanding like a little bit of how Feels Good came into play, you know, evolving out of a band that was playing more rock and roll stuff and then ending up in R&B. Let's take a listen to it and remind our cafe audience of how good it hears to feel good. Feels Good here on World Cafe. From Tony, who's still going strong. They're doing their thing. Obviously, you left the band in 97. You know, so many people resonate with those 9-10 years from the original lineup. And it still holds strong. Why do you think that is?
I think it held strong. It was very, you know, very good songs. We come from a very strong line of music, being from the Bay Area. We had very good extensive training from, you know, growing up in Oakland, and I really paid attention to the past and going into the future. Just knew I had a responsibility as a musician to be better than what I thought we could be. And, you know, if you grew up listening to That's the Way of the World by Earth, Wind & Fire, you know, you just have to really... you know, if you want Maurice White to look at you and say, "Ben, I like what you're doing," you have to really go for something. And I think that was our angle, always to try to make the legends proud.
Ooh, that's a really good way of saying it. If the people that you looked up to can say, "Hey, that's really good stuff," that's the goal.
That's all I ever cared about. I mean, I never cared about, you know, you have to make songs good enough to be on radio. But at the end of the day, it's your life. You just have to make songs that you could live with. And, you know, some people have that type of pride and some people don't. And some people that don't have that pride make way more money than I'll ever make. But some things, you know, my addiction was that music that I'm telling you about. And that's how I sort of lived, you know, my career was through the eyes of the legends. They say if you want to, you know, in golf, they say if you want to play like amateur, you learn from an amateur. You want to play like a pro, you watch the pros, and I just always watch the pros.
Wow, that's really good advice. Yeah, the only way you get better. Yeah. Well, now the nice part is you can have the pros come by and hang out at your studio, which is the way it should work.
That's right.
It's pretty good.
That's it.
That's pretty
good.
We're talking to Raphael Siddique. It's World Cafe. New album is Jimmy Lee. Is there a song that we haven't talked about on the record that is important to you that we should go out on? Is there a song in particular that
I think the record we should go out on is a song called I'm feeling love. And the reason why I say I'm feeling love is because when I'd say this record is about addiction, but sometimes when people are addicted to something and they're high, we look down on them, but they actually feel at their very, very best. And this song, I'm Feeling Love, is basically saying I'm feeling love when you think I'm not.
Awesome, awesome. Raphael, man, best of luck in the future. Congrats on the album. Please come back and see us again soon.
Thank you. I'm feeling love.
Rafael Sadiq, a bit of I'm Feeling Love from his new album, Jimmy Lee, which is available now. That Rafael Sadiq, absolutely incredible storyteller. I could sit and listen to him for hours. Maybe we should get him back. That's going to be my goal. We'll get him back soon. Hey, thanks so much for listening to this interview, and thanks to our guest, Rafael Sadiq. My name is Stephen Kaleo. I'm the contributing host at World Cafe. We'll see you next time. Yes, I can't count them all.